Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hey, this is the Gaming Beast, and I'm sorry to be somewhat late with this episode, a day or two, and the reason is I've been playing Freedom Force. Yes, the superhero strategy RPG game, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It's really cool. I played through the campaign of the game, and so did I also with the sequel, Freedom Force versus the Third Reich, and it's a very it's a game which controls very much kind of like a strategy RPG in the sense that it's real time, but it's paused real time, similar to Baldur's Gate. But it also reminds me a little bit of Commandos, you know. It's more like a real time tactics game. When you play with superheroes in a very campy 60s Taz 79 pointed out, Kirby-esque world, definitely very Kirby-esque. It has a lot of homages to Marvel universe of the 60s, also somewhat DC, but mostly it's Marvel. Some of the characters are definite homages to the characters of from back in the day, like Minuteman, the main character, the leader of the Freedom Force. He's a very patriotic style superhero, very much in essence of Captain America. He's somewhat stronger than human, so he's not quite like Captain America. Also, he's able to leap buildings with a single bound. So he's almost close to a Golden Age Superman, but not quite. So he's in between Golden Age Superman and Captain America somewhere. And he's got a cane, because it's funny. Basically, there's this evil alien coming down to Earth, and something happens on the ship. There's an explosion, and these canisters of Energy X fall to the Earth. And a bunch of people, they just happen to be in some weird situation, often in a life-threatening situation, and then the Energy X, they just touch it, and then it kind of brings out their hopes and dreams and the powers that would fit them most. Like Minuteman is being, you know, he's they say that he was treasonous, and then he works for the government, but he's now old and stuff. And there's this communist agent, which shoots him and almost kills him. And then he sees the Energy X falls on the statue of the Minuteman, and he touches it, and then he becomes Minuteman. He's young again, and he's got superpowers, and he's now in a corny outfit. So it's kind of a cool idea, because it gives it a universal origin story to all the characters. Most characters there, their origin is from Energy X, but that's really just a plot point device. It's a universal MacGuffin, and it works really well for a. It's somewhat tongue in cheek, and it's like a lovable parody. Like the people who made this really love this era, but they do poke fun at it. But it's also very good. It's like the Avengers movie, where it's lovable, but it's still, the story can still become serious, like, and especially when you play also the second game. I don't want to spoil anything for you. The characters are really neat. If you like this kind of stuff, you know, this Kirby-esque world and everything, then that's for you. I won't be talking too much. myself. I have an interview that I recorded a while ago, and I wanted to play that. Because honestly, I don't have too much to talk about for this week, other than I was playing Freedom Force. And I've been playing the mods. I'm still going to talk about the mods a little bit. So I played through the main campaign of Freedom Force, and then what you can do, you can mod the game. It's pretty mod friendly. It has a editor with it. Unfortunately, I have the Steam version, and the editor doesn't work, so I couldn't mess around with that sadly. But it's possible to edit the game in different ways. There is a skirmish mode, which is just your basic. You can do basic missions. I mean, you can basically have a group of heroes fight another group of heroes. Like, you can control the group of heroes fighting another group of heroes. But install the mod where you can just let the group of heroes fight, so you can just watch the fight, which is pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of Mugen, when you set it up for an AI battle. And the cool thing is, you can also make your own superheroes. You can also use those superheroes for the main campaign, which is really cool. And you get a couple of... you can use the skins from the other characters, the meshes from the other characters, and there's one or two other basic meshes with different skins, but it's not very much, you know. But a community has built up, at least, you know. It's not, of course, it's not as active anymore as it used to be. It's like a fraction of what it was when it came out. Like, that's how it tends to be with games that have modding. Their community springs up, there's lots of sites, especially if it's a very mod-friendly game like Half-Life or The Sims 2, 1 or 2, or, you know, or Oblivion or Morrowind. And those games will grow out a mod community, and especially when it's a mod-friendly, where it's easy to make mods, there's going to be lots of mods. Of course, not all of them are going to be good. With Freedom Force, a lot of the stuff is you got meshes, which are shapes, basically 3D shapes. Basically, it's new 3D characters, and you got skins. So those are the 2D overlays on those meshes. Meaning, like, you can have, and the people, the fans, the modders, they've been making a lot of different skins and meshes, like based on DC and Marvel comic books. Also on different comic books, also on movies and TV shows. There's lots of them, and I've got lots of them, and it's really cool. I have built up a character roster of different characters, and I've made them fight each other. It's really exciting, because you can set up your own powers, and you can set up their own stats. That's where the role-playing aspect comes. Also, when you play in single-player with the characters, you play them, and you can gain experience, which is kind of called prestige points. Well, with the prestige points you gain from missions, you eventually, they're kind of like currency. You can buy new characters for your missions, which is really cool. So you are the better you play the missions, the more prestige you get, the more it's like your group becomes more famous, you know. And they also have different levels, like a starter, you know, there could be a lower level would be called Vigilante, and then the highest level is called Savior of the Universe. And then you can get different heroes have different levels of prestige points, you know, and it depends on how strong they are, you know. And in a way, you could say that this is their power level, you know, and there's lots of different powers, you know. There's flight, there's super speed, there's super strength, of course. You can set up the stats. There's different. You can set different kind of energy attacks. You can also set different type of gun attacks. Although with the gun attacks, you have to be sure that the mesh has a gun animation to it, which I find is a little drawback. And if they ever make a similar game, because they were working on a third Freedom Force game, which was playing in the 70s. The second one is they go back to World War II, to the Golden Age. The first one is set in the Silver Age of comic books in the 60s, you know, Fantastic Four and that stuff. And X-Men and whatever. And Avengers, of course. And in the 70s, the next one would have been in the 70s, which you would have, like, you know, you would have your Dazzler, you would have the new X-Men, you would have, the new Wonder Woman, all this kind of stuff, where superheroes were starting to be a little different. And but also on the other hand, they had also one of the corniest costumes and everything. So it was a cool time for comic books in many ways. Also not such a good time. But anyway, so modding, I played through the two games and it was fun. And then I made characters and I made them fight each other. And I also, I played different missions. I made my own characters, many, and that was cool. But that eventually got boring to a degree. But that's something I'm gonna more showcase in Virtual Warriors. Yes, I only made one episode so far, but I have another one that is in production, and I'm gonna have more and more episodes, and it's gonna be a more regular series. Yes, I haven't been too good with new episodes, but I'm gonna change that. Anyway, the next one, you should look out for that one. It's gonna be really epic, really exciting. Well, I'm gonna say it's gonna be two big super groups, and you can guess who they are. Anyway, if you didn't know, Virtual Warriors is my series where I use, for example, Freedom Force or Mugen to pit different characters from usually fictional characters against each other to see who's the strongest, kind of like Deadliest Warrior, or what they have done with Death Battle and Spoonie's Deadliest Character. But it's just my take, because those, they just talk who might be the strongest, and then they do their little animation, but in the end they just decide. It's just an opinion contest. I do like those shows, and the animations are cool and everything, but I rather go for a simulation. And I know this is not a super duper simulation because the AI is not the greatest and whatever, and for so many characters like Batman, you would have to more or less play the character yourself, which I might do in some cases where it's appropriate. But for most cases, the AI just works fine, because usually it just points out who's the more powerful. Also, I have downloaded a mod which adds new effects. The effects are, simply put, you can add different effects to your powers. Your powers is like an attack. And the thing is, what the role-playing aspect is, you have the role-playing stats, and in between adventures, at times, with characters you play a lot, you will be able, you get XP. And that XP you can spend on leveling up your character's abilities, and you can give them new advantages and stuff, so that's really cool. And that's why you also want, but I'm not quite sure how it works, because I felt like there was characters that I liked to play more, like El Diablo. He's a fire-wielding hero, and he's the only one who can fly in the main campaign. You can set flight to many characters, but he's the only one who can officially fly in that game. And then you have one or two characters who can levitate, but that's slower. He can, like, soar in the skies. He's kind of like the torch without flaming up, He can he creates fire under his feet, and he's a pretty cool character. And the cool thing is he's the most powerful blaster in my opinion. Blaster meaning he's a ranged attack, and he's an energy blaster which he shoots fire in different kinds of attacks, and I like him a lot, but if you really want to gain the most out of him, you want to get what's his name? Manbot. Manbot is the dude who he got Energy X, but for him it did something else. It just radiates out of him, and he's got the coolest origin story, and he's the most tragic. He reminds me most of, imagine if you would take Iron Man, but Iron Man, he's also a rich kid and whatever, and he gets the Energy X, but it just kills his girlfriend and his brother, and he really gets upset. But I think, what is it? Mentor, who is kind of like Martian Manhunter, or he's very much like Martian Manhunter. He's the alien with the mental powers and stuff, and he's kind of the smart guy, he's if, what is it? Minuteman is the leader, but he is the guy with the brains, and he's the expert on on psychics and science and whatever, and Energy X, of course. And he builds him, I think, he builds him a suit, a special containment suit. So he's a lot like, what is it, Captain Atom, where he needs a containment suit. But, you know, Captain Atom needs a containment suit to function properly, to, like, he needs a containment suit to protect the people around him. So he's also like that guy in, those future superheroes from DC, Legion of Superheroes, that's this one guy, I forgot his name, but he's also in a containment suit, so, because he also is radioactive and stuff. And he needs a containment suit, and he also, and that also reminds me of Iron Man, is the rich guy who's get put down a notch from his ego. And yeah, and he's kind of like Iron Man and Captain Atom, and a really cool character. And the cool thing about him is you can use his, he can release his Energy X as like a weapon, but it's not a very good aim. But it's a pretty good weapon if you need. He's also pretty strong. He's a pretty good bruiser. He's kind of a blaster cop. Blaster bruiser combo, like a tank. Can also take a lot of hits. But his best power is that he can transfer his energy, because he's got the most Energy X contained in him, and you can basically give energy to your fellow people. And the best combo is to take him. He can also, I think, levitate after a while. Can he fly? I know El Diablo is the only one who can fly from the beginning, and I know Mentor can levitate. In the second one, you have another guy who can fly, I know that, but that's the second game. Anyway, I think he can levitate, but he might be able to fly too. I'm not quite sure if Manbok can fly. Has been a while since I played it. But anyway, I just have him behind El Diablo. And he just charges El Diablo up, and El Diablo can shoot all the fireballs he wants, more or less. And it's a very good combo, and believe me, it saved my asses with a lot of bosses, because that game can get really challenging. You know, it's a very well-balanced game. It's not challenging because it's a badly developed game. This is very well beta-tested. It feels right. It plays right. And, you know, to make a game like this, you know, it's not easy. And my other favorite, the best tank, by one of the best characters. He's also the most expensive, with like 8,000. How do you call those? With 8,000 points that you need to spend on him, is I've been on a roll here, and now I don't know. He basically is more or less a homage to the Juggernaut, but he's like a good guy, and he's kind of a dumb guy too, but he's a big dumb brute. If I can just think about his name. Give me a second here, I will check it fast. It's been a while, guys, and I've been just trying out the characters. So I will talk about the mods until I find his name. The thing is, the mods were like there's this tank. I'm gonna think about it later. Anyway, the mods are pretty cool, in my opinion, because they add a bunch of new gameplay, and I'm gonna maybe also review the mods or do a let's play of them, because this, like, the guys who made the different characters, and then there was other guys who even went more into work, because with the Freedom Force editor, it's also possible to make maps and your own campaigns, although that's way more challenging. Not that it's not challenging to make characters and stuff, even with simple skin. Hell, I tried to make a skin, and it's not easy. And then mesh making is harder, and then I would say making a whole campaign, because there's just a lot to do. And you have to also do coding and stuff. But still, some people made it, and there's quite a lot, actually. I would say a couple of dozen mods. I would say around maybe 50 mods, and some of them completed. And they're basically custom campaigns. And some are longer than others. I finished recently one that was 10 missions long, and it was awesome. It was called The Great Hunt. And it was awesome because they had the storyline continue from Patriot City, but now they had suddenly superheroes from different universes appear. The first one being Wolverine from the Marvel Universe. And then you have a bunch of other characters later on appear. And then there's a whole plot. As Kang the Conqueror wants to take over a bunch of parts of the multiverse, and you have to, and he also summons villains, and you have to, with the summoned heroes from different universes, you have to stop him, which also is a very good excuse why you see all these characters pop up, and also you can add in your own heroes very easily without you can add them to anyone, but here it's like it totally fits because they're coming from different universes, Anyway, so there's different mods from Marvel DC set in Marvel DC worlds that are campaigns. They're up to sometimes they're just 2 missions long or even 1 mission long. Sometimes they go up to 30 missions. I've seen a really cool mod that is based off of XCOM, which it's, I can see that. And I haven't played them all yet, but I played a lot. And I will talk about more of these mods later. What now we're gonna put in is the interview with still gonna be about superheroes, the interview with Kaiser, where we talk about it's basically Crazy's Kaiser Corner, where I'm gonna have more or less every month a Kaiser segment. We talk about a thing that happened a while ago where DC announced that they would take an established superhero and reintroduce him as a gay character. And I personally think it's forced. I'm not saying this because I'm homophobic or anything. I'm all for a gay superhero, but make a new superhero who is gay and make him a prominent character. Like, put him in the Justice League, Like, make him a big, prominent character, And give him his own series. If people. There's a lot of people who've been saying, oh, I don't care if he's gay and everything. And yeah, sure, okay, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue, but the main problem is that you have a character that is established for so long as being straight, and then, and I know. You'll hear us talk about these different points, but let me hear what you think, okay? Anyway, there's going to be a song, and then there's going to be the interview segment, so talk to you later, guys.
We'll be right back.
Disney Corner.
We did a Walt Disney.
Okay, so this is the Gaming Beast, and we have Retro Kaiser here. And I don't know if I'm going to talk about this in the previous section since I'm recording this before, but basically DC had a big announcement because Marvel had some announcements with a gay superhero. Basically, one of the superheroes that was already known to be gay, but he came out publicly and had a marriage, Northstar, on Marvel's side. That one was actually a good move because Northstar was known to be a gay, which is okay. But DC said, "Oh, we're gonna take an established A-lister, and we're gonna reintroduce him in the New 52 as gay." And everybody was speculating who it was going to be. A lot of people said it's going to be Aquaman or Wonder Woman. And some people said it would be The Flash. They said pretty much to him that it's not going to be Superman and Batman because that's their biggest franchises, biggest guys. But it turned out it was Retro.
The Green Lantern, my favorite DC comic hero.
No,
that just makes me sound homophobic. We're not trying to be homophobic. Anyway, we're purely judging it by story writing, as we would with any other one.
Now, when we talk the Green Lantern, right? Yeah, exactly. We're not talking Hal Jordan Green Lantern. We're talking the actual original Green Lantern of the Golden Age, Alan Scott. You know, and with the cape and everything. And who they changed to become the Guardian or something. And he's a member of the Justice Society of America and so on. And he's a very classical superhero, very loved, you know, and the original Green Lantern's ring wasn't based on super science, it was based on magic, and yeah, and they made him now gay, apparently, so.
And my problem with this is, it doesn't make sense. What do they call it? The Wookiee conspiracy or something from South Park. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
It's like you've got a character like this. You've got this. When you think, you know him, let me try this a different way. It's like riding Superman. He comes to Earth. You know him as someone from Krypton. And suddenly next issue, he's a duck. Without explanation. He's just a duck. And everyone treats him like he's been a duck his entire life.
And they call
it sort of alienates us.
And they call him Howard.
And Spielberg makes a movie of him.
Actually, I hear the comic book Howard the Duck is pretty cool. It's just the movie that really sucked and tarnished the character. But yeah, whatever. So we were discussing which characters. The thing was, they could have done it easier. They could have just introduced a new superhero and make him a gay one. And if they wanted to have it a Green Lantern, with the Green Lantern Corps having thousands and thousands of people, they could just say, oh, Hal Jordan is on a vacation, and here's the new Green Lantern. And yeah. He just happens to be gay. And then they can make a gay superhero from the ground up, and it doesn't feel forced. It feels more natural, you know? And actually make him like, build him up like that, you know, from this ground up. Because, yes, the problem is all these old school heroes that have been around since the Golden or the Silver Age, they were made in a time where, that was pretty racist and homophobic. So most of the superheroes were white and straight, you know. So. And in the since the 70s, they've been trying to adding new superheroes that from different color. And I think that problem has been addressed pretty well. They have also added now Cyborg to the Justice League, which I don't mind, actually, because I do like Cyborg. And although he's a Teen Titans character, since this is a new universe that don't even feature the Teen, I'm not even sure that I like that they don't even have the Teen Titans, but okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with this DC universe, which ultimately will probably lead to, their 800th reboot of the universe?
Oh yeah. DC can't stop fucking rebooting their universe.
Yeah. It's like, DC are trying to make, you know, the latest Infinite Comics, like, politically correct characters, But with this, they're really trying to overdo it, not by just making him gay, but by introducing his partner as an African American, by trying to force trying to make another political correctness, like having mixed couples, something like that, so having like love trends, old genders and colors, or something like that.
You know, I personally, I'm saying I support that, and I've always supported it. It's just our problem here is that you're taking a character that has been established that is like 70 years old and has a rich and a extended history, and there's no indicators for that. Maybe the costume, but after that, every superhero could be more or less gay,
yeah,
just because of the costume.
Yeah. As you said, the problem is they just did it in a way that really alienates us. Like, could have worked better with it. They should have really better picked someone. Like, you can't just change any superhero like that, because it's really, it's like if you did that to Batman or Superman, the same thing applies here.
Yeah,
even if you do it with minor characters too that have all grown up, the same thing happens there. It's just feels very weird and alienating.
The big deal with Superman is the ladies that he's with, especially Lois Lane. But you know what's the weirdest also thing about Superman? All the chicks he dates as like double L, Lois Lane, Lori Lamaris, that mermaid chick, Lana Lang. It's ridiculous. So he's been always banging female chicks. And yes, the whole woman of Kleenex bullshit where he would kill somebody with his sperm. I think it's bullshit because for different reasons, but who cares, you know? Maybe he just pulls it out or something. Who cares? Who cares?
Pulls it out with a shotgun blast. But Hancock, baby.
Yeah, that was the entire premise of Hancock, that article of Superman killing somebody with his ejaculation. But in the movie, they toned it down in the theatrical cut. Because I actually read about how the original movie was supposed to be. And the whole point is that he wants to have a woman where he can come into. That was the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, now, but
anyway, that's a different topic for a different...
Yeah, back on topic, but... Yeah, as we said before, the best way to... I've got no problem with gay comic book characters whatsoever. It's just they just did it wrong in this situation.
I would say my biggest issue also with both DC and Marvel, they haven't been adding new characters really, or any kind of interesting new characters. And I'm not quite sure, maybe it's just me because I haven't been looking in, because I know that Marvel's always adding new X-Men. But the only new character that was atypical, that was interesting, I found, was the Sentry. Because that was Marvel's gazillion's attempt to rip off Superman. And here it's pretty blunt.
I thought it was Gladiator was their attempt at Superman.
They did it multiple times. You look at Thor, he has basically the same power set. He's even got a big red cape.
Hey, if you want to stretch it, the Incredible Hulk can leap buildings in a single bound faster than speed and bullet.
On a power level, he is on the same power level as Superman, although some consider Superman would be stronger, but I say no, Hulk would be definitely stronger because the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. Superman would be just simply faster and has more powers that he could use against him. But either way, they're more or less evenly matched. But anyway, gay characters. So who could have, should have been rather gay from the DC from the DC universe?
Yeah, well, I know we need to do... No, let's explain it. What would be in a better choice and what would have been an even worse choice? We'll start with a better choice. Like, this is something that's hard to do, like, in storytelling mode. Like, because you have to be really picky onto which hero you're going to choose. It's like, even if it's too minor, people probably wouldn't even give a shit. So they have to try to aim for something a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, if they... Which is a problem. This is actually a harder question to answer. So if they went to choose like a bigger one, I reckon they should probably choose one with a more unexplored sexual background. one that's a bit more mysterious.
Well, the thing is, as far as I understand, I remember I've read that there is a Marvel character called Obsidian, who wasn't, in the beginning, he wasn't said that he was straight, but everybody assumed it, and then they more or less made him gay, but he was very minor and never really caught on. People were saying Aquaman, but one of my favorite lines, Aquaman has always been established that he has a wife and a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it never happens that, you know, you have homosexuals in real life, guys that come out, also women, when they're married, you know.
And yeah, it happens.
Because they deny it. But for Aquaman, there was no reason. He's the Prince of Atlantis, and he's a very douchebag in a sense that he does the hell whatever he wants, you know. So he's not like Namor, because especially the 90s Aquaman, who I'm familiar with, who had his arm chopped off, who actually looked more manly in a way. I mean, I guess you could also consider that gay, I guess. But some people point at everything and say gay, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And I mean, you know, and even if that's a thing, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I've got a thing. The old DC, what do they call the multiverses for the DC?
Oh, the multiverse, DC multiverse, simply as that.
Yeah. Like, they need to do a parody of that by having Batman and Robin come out, like, as their 60s forms. Because, you know, that's a big running gag from back in the day.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. That's an old one.
Yeah. But I reckon probably... Sorry if I'm interrupting you.
No, it's cool.
Yeah. And even worse, though, something worse than Green Lantern is having suddenly Superman come out of the closet.
Actually, it could be done well. It has been done well, but not as directly Superman. In Wildstorm comics, they have what is called the Authority, which is their version of the Justice League, and they have a superhero duo. One is called Apollo, who is very much like Superman, and he's like, he's got a similar power, very similar power set, you know. And he's like, his costume and his thing is based off the sun, obviously. And then you have the Midnighter, who's based off the darkness, and he's basically their version's Batman. And they are actually a couple. Now, in the beginning, it was a little bit weird, but it actually worked really well. And you see, you can actually take characters, but you change them and make them into an own thing. And they were developed from the beginning like that, you know. And it worked actually really well. You know,
mm-hmm.
Because they were basically the most powerful superheroes on the planet, and they were in love with each other, but they were pretty much like Batman and Superman for the most part. But then you had a couple of the scenes that were actually pretty funny and lousy and cool. And it worked. Because why? Because it was developed from the beginning. Those characters were made that way. You know? Like, that's the thing, is that the problem is there. Superman, if you would have Superman come out, it would completely take away the thing with Lois Lane. And then who is he then dating? What, Jimmy, you know, Jimmy?
Lex Luthor
there.
It'll be the ultimate twist. Love thy enemy. Don't keep your friends closer and your enemies even closer.
Well, I heard that there is actually a funny thing with the new Superboy. He's supposedly the son of, but kind of the clone son of Superman and Lex Luthor, so who knows? Maybe there's something to that. Well, in the storyline, as far as I understand, they used the genes and cloned a Superman clone who is half Superman, half Lex Luthor. And it's kind of weird, but I guess, who knows, maybe that did happen. But,
you know, probably would have been a funnier, like, twist. Mm-hmm. Instead of making a big major superhero gay, they made a big major super villain gay.
See, I could actually, with villains, I'm more for changing the stuff with them, as long as it works. Especially minor villains, you know? Like, I could maybe see, you know, as one of the lamest, and I wouldn't make him gay because he's lame. I would make him possibly gay because there would be potential. I would say actually Catwoman has been at least somewhat bisexual. But I might be wrong there. You see, Catwoman is a character where I would say, yeah, okay, makes sense. But not, I would make her bisexual then, because you still have to have this, because she has this kind of relationship with Batman, you know, so.
This just sounds pure male to me, but I wouldn't mind seeing her bisexual.
Oh, yeah, a fan service right there.
See, we love gay people.
Exactly. look, all we were saying is that if Marvel did it good with, they had Northstar and he was pretty much assumed gay, but now he basically came out of the closet, and there's a whole panel where he basically asks this guy in marriage, the guy he was, another superhero he's dating. Northstar is not the biggest name, but he's still pretty big. And when it comes to gay superheroes, I think he's the most known. So now he basically, you know, made out and they said, okay, let's marry. And that was Marvel's thing. And then I think DC was kind of trying to trump them, but I think Marvel won this round again, I think. Mm-hmm. Because it was a character that they already pretty much had him as gay. So they developed this for years, and DC is like, oh, Green Lantern's now gay. You know, that's the problem here. You know?
Sounds just like penis envy to me.
So I think it's like, exactly, I think Marvel is actually pushing Northstar to be a more mainstream character. And with them making the movies, you know, he could be potentially in one of the next Avengers movies or something. And then they can have this whole politically correctness and whatever, and do it well, you know. And DC is just like, yeah, doing kind of an attention whore thing, you know.
Yeah, it won't matter. People forget about this in the next. It's mainly because it would be like in the next 6 months. I predict the universe will be rebooted 2 times.
It's characters die, they change, they come back. Do you remember when Superman was a blue energy being? Do you remember that? No, you don't. So it's like people have to chat. So that's the thing. It's like Superman at one point was now General Kal-El when all the city, that miniature city he had conveniently with all the Kryptonians left, got released or something like that. And I don't know. Like they settled in the. I haven't read that story yet, but it does look cool. And he had a different outfit. Like, for example, costumes. They have, like, different... Just to shake things up a bit, they will change the costume. But it always goes back. Same thing with Spider-Man.
I mean... Things change. Things change all the time. And sometimes they change back.
One of the worst retcons in Marvel history, and that was against Spider-Man, was when they said the Clone Wars was one of the weirdest things. Because they said Peter Parker... said he has a clone, Ben Reilly, right? And basically there was a bunch of shit happening, I don't know exactly. But then it turns out that Ben Reilly is the real Peter Parker, and Peter Parker is the clone.
I remember that in the cartoon.
And then, yeah, but in the cartoon, it was Ben Reilly was an alternate universe version of him. But he was still the same Ben Reilly. And what happened is... You had Ben Reilly then basically become the new Spider-Man official because he was the Scarlet Spider, a separate character. But he kind of messed up his reputation even so bad. And Peter Parker decided, basically Mary Jane was pregnant, and he decided to step down. And I actually found it was a very bold move by Marvel. And I actually enjoyed that storyline. He stepped down, and he gave the thing to Ben Reilly, and they changed the costume pretty drastically. It was still the red web thing and the blue, but it was changed in different ways, and it looked pretty cool. And they had Ben Reilly, and then I stopped reading for a while, I think, but then I picked it up again, and suddenly, oh, Peter Parker is the real clone anyway, and Ben Reilly died. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I remember that. There was the, what was it, the Blood Brothers storyline.
Yeah. And it was just, it was a really good moment when I actually felt myself touched when Mary Jane was pregnant and she was, you know, and they were there, and it was like a big moment. It was like passing the torch and moving on, you know, and that child would have been basically Spider-Girl, which is in a alternate universe in a Marvel multiverse where she is, you know, Peter Parker is not no more Spider-Man, and he has a girl who is now the new, basically, Spider-Girl. And that's where you could have continued. The problem is with American comic books like this, they have a moving timeline where they don't want things to change, where they always update it so the characters stay in the same age, pretty much. And things don't... Events happen, but pretty much they stay the same way. Kind of almost like with The Simpsons.
I'm not saying... Well, I'm saying that about the current Simpsons, not the old...
Yeah, I hate the current Simpsons. It's so... I don't even watch it anymore. I love the old seasons, the first five. They're really gold, you know. But...
What did you... Yeah. Speaking of gay characters, what did you think about, what was it, one of Marge's sisters turning gay? What did you think of that?
That actually made sense, to be honest.
It did. Because I actually remember listening to the DVD commentaries of the old episodes. Even they said, like, in those old commentaries that she was a closet one.
I think the only reason she was a closet is because when she came out as a character, she was, in that time, it wasn't, I guess, okay yet to put it on TV, and now it's the exact opposite. And to be honest, it just made more sense to me because she already had a lot of things that, you know, she's just you know, like a lesbian. You know?
Yeah.
And Yep.
Go on. I wasn't gonna say anything.
Just about the characters that could have been possibly gay. So with Aquaman, it wouldn't work because one of his big storylines is, especially in the 90s, his wife and child gets killed by Black Manta, his arch-villain. And also he loses his arm, and he gets really bitter, and he hates the world. And actually that's when also his look I liked the most, you know. Because then he got like a beard and everything, and it made him look less feminine. And he also got this harpoon arm, and he was pretty cool then, actually, I think. But I don't know. Flash, maybe, because yes, he has a girlfriend, but it depends. There's a couple of Flashes too, so.
Flash,
Savior of the universe.
I
don't know. Like, you know, what I was thinking maybe, but then I was like, again, Plastic Man. What do you think?
Plastic Man's crazy enough to do something like that.
I would
like
say
that.
Plastic Man would be a pansexual, where you don't even know what the hell he's into.
Yeah.
He's just like...
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just, he could even be bisexual pretty
easily. Oh yeah. Because he can just shapeshift into a chick. But I remember one scene in Justice League when he was at one point a member of the Justice League. And, okay, the Justice League had to go incognito, so they had to take off their costumes and had to put on like normal clothing to infiltrate this some kind of weird benefits concert. I don't know anymore, something, because they were like looking for this villain. So they dressed up in attire, suits, and of course Wonder Woman looked really hot in a dress, and she is like in this red dress, and they ask, so where is Plastic Man? And it turns out he shapeshifted into the dress to cover her. And, Wonder Woman being Wonder Woman, she is like about to kill him, and you have the entire Justice League, including Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, everybody standing between them, and they're saying, okay, Plastic, you not go close to her now for the next couple of years. And by the way, just a little inside joke, because Plastic Man is definitely the basis for the character of Erected Tower. Still have to put up those... I'm going to start putting up those episodes of Super Dicks today.
Yeah, what do you think the sexuality of the erected tower
is? The erected tower is like Plastic Man on crack. Okay, so for people who don't know, like, we have the Super Persons or Super Dicks campaign. It's basically a bunch of assholes gaining superpowers and doing whatever they want. And
I can tell you what sexuality is as I created him.
So what is his sexuality?
I marked him as an everything sexual.
So he's a pansexual then. That's the term for that. Just pretty
yeah,
much everything.
He doesn't care. But he doesn't care. Yeah, he just doesn't. He just doesn't care. And I planned that from the beginning, so it makes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, so it makes because I tried to make it make sense by having him just do everything. So. Yeah, come on. He ate a soldier. He ate a soldier as a form of a giant dick.
Yes. That's one of the things that has been keeping me back of posting the episode. So I might need to actually censor them, at least somewhat. But I'm not sure if I want to.
Yeah. If it helps fans of this podcast, I actually named that form after a tribute of one of Dorabka's other characters, Jack
from
Action.
From the Space Sticks campaign, which I also need to... I have to post a lot of shit, though. I've been just lazy, because I have to edit them together in Audacity.
Yeah. It's fun. I've just been having a very difficult time trying to attend these events. It's getting to the point where I work on everything, and it's just things start to clash now.
You're not the only one who has trouble joining. CF has joined a couple of games now. He has joined. I started a new D&D campaign with 3.5 now. And actually, we made a character for Retro, which I'm dying to see in action. Well, he was playing a little bit, but really nothing major happened. But I want to see him in action, and it's in Jack action. And it's a wizard. But I allowed him to learn some of the spells from the Nymphology book. So
that's gonna be
yep.
Fun. Speaking of the Nymphology book, yeah, we're at the stage where we've gone over the main topic and we're just sort of forming into anything we're going about. But I don't think I need to explain that. Well, too bad. I've done it, and I've forgotten what I was on about.
Nymphology book.
Yeah. What I found about that was, like, the way I was going through that as a character, like, I was trying to balance out useful things and that. And what I found funny was, like, some of those Nymphology ones work pretty much the same way as the other ones, except can be done at a much lower level. So I sort of cheated the system.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Definitely. You can use them for different ways. Like, there's many ways you can use them. Like, it's just how creative are you, you know? How creative are you? That's the whole thing. And if you think...
I like to play to survive.
Definitely. Since I'm now more stricter with the 3.5 campaign, we had already a character die. And, level 1 is the deadliest level to be at. Because then you're the most vulnerable, you know? And even a freaking goblin or kobold can kill you if he has the good rolls, you know.
Poor Adam and Sandu's character all the way back there.
Yeah, that was way back. That is published, where Adam and Sandu's character, Aeon the Rogue, and Sandu's original cleric, I'm always thinking Kaemari now, but I completely forgot Sandu's original character. What was it? I even made a picture of him. It's on the Gaming Beast website, and I have to check myself.
Every time you say Kaemari, I always get Kmart.
I know, but he said that name, Kaemari, and it's always Kmart. I know, right? It's like, where does he come up with those names? Oh, I haven't updated my role-playing website that much.
I know his original name was a mixture of Sendu. Zendu! With the X.
Zendu. Zatu. Zatu.
Zatu!
Zatu,
yeah,
the cleric.
Yeah.
And I made him to look really dorky.
First thing he does when he gets a roll, gets
that
in a bar
fight.
That
was actually the very first action of D&D as we know it here in the group. We need to come up with some kind of name where Sendu gets into a bar and the whole group gets in. And I tell him, what do you do? And he says, I attack the innkeeper with my mace. That was the first thing he does.
I have nearly got himself killed. I have to use up pretty much all my magic to heal him. And I lost all my money that day, too, from having
and
to pay for damages.
And you also got almost killed, so...
And I bought Adam a bearded hooker.
It was a dwarf hooker or something. That was a great session.
The pilot session is one of my favorite ones. I remember the early in the second one how we tried to get through the door, our first trouble with doors.
I remember Aeon doing a salto, right, to be all ninja-esque, and just falling on his ass. And that was the first time I remember Adam, like, being Adam. Like, because for me, the first session was really starting to get to know you, you know. I didn't know you that well, you know, and that was me getting to know you, you know. It was great times.
As I was on with the trouble door, the way that scene happened was we're in a big door in front of a cave that we tried everything to open except for look for a doorknob.
They're trying to, and the doorknob was somewhat hidden, but not too bad. But they were trying to unlock it. They were trying to blast it. They took like the lamp and throw it. They turned it on and throw it, and the entire thing was burning. And then you were getting burnt.
Hey, the first thing I did was knock on it.
yeah, I remember. And I remember Mungo. Mungo just like, you're just a bunch of idiots. I'm just going to walk in. Like, Jerry's character. And I miss those times. Like, we had a good run going, you know. And it's just like, we had a really good epic campaign. But there, you could only come in on the very end. And Jerry wasn't there at all. You know, I really want to finish at least the Tarl Igot campaign and maybe play still a couple of Super Dicks, but...
Right, that's the name of the segment now. D&D Session Memories.
Oh, yeah, let's think of...
Remember when we fought the priest on the boat? No, not fought the priest on the boat. We'll find the sun trouser snake sort of thing. Yes, I kid you not. And this priest came in and killed it all and took all the glory and we threw him off the side of a boat.
He's actually a paladin and you guys hated him because that was actually when CF DM'd and you threw him off because he had shiny armor or something. But I wasn't there for that one, mm-hmm. So.
A little jealous of him pretty much.
Yeah. It's good times. For me, my best... And also one of my most hated experience was the Super Dicks campaign. Because I had no clue what you guys are going to be like. I had some clue, but this was a different style of campaign. But in the end, it was kind of the same.
Do I have to PG myself?
No, it's cool.
Remember when we fought this feminist lady and I decided to turn to Jack Action for the first time and come all over the...
Yeah,
stick it
was
to
the first time where I thought we went too far. Like, and then I came up with Lo Wang to add to the offensiveness.
Ancient Chinese secret. Whoever sprayed it, said it.
And I'm like, when you did that, I was like, holy shit. But my favorite element also when you actually, because the whole, just for the listeners, I'm going to post it up, but the Super Dicks campaign ended up being they would travel to different universes to collect items for the Wizard of the Well. And they ended up once in the Lex universe because I was at that time really enamored with Lex. And I'm still love it. And I remember I actually put them in a specific episode. And if you guys are Lex fans, I put them in the episode where they are in this casino, in this Egyptian-themed casino. and they get a prop mummy, but it's actually a real mummy, and it's supposedly some kind of alien walking around killing people. And they basically run into Stanley Tweedle, and they just throw him into the mummy's hand, and he kills him. And basically, I think you got the energy to control X, the key, basically.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I remember you guys going to the Lex ship. One of the first things you do is like blow up the planet. And you will see Lex once you get it. And that shit happens more often than not. And it's pretty funny.
Film. Oh, remember how we filmed the space porno?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They found the Zev the Love Slave. And those perverted, talk about power corrupts. I mean, they were the perfect example of power corrupts. And they basically, okay, she's a love slave, so she has a high libido, so yeah, for her it was fun. But basically, they made a 20-hour porn. recorded it on a jump drive. And then send it on a. And then in the next world, I think they sold it somehow or something.
As a Lance Sloan production.
Lance Sloan, yeah.
Which was mentioned on episode 11 of Beastcast.
Yep. Lance.
Because I'm not going to say last episode because who knows what episode this is going to be.
That is true. I don't know. It might be. I might do it after I post some Super Dicks episodes, so people might have actually a clue, but. Yeah. Anyway, so Super Dicks is a cool thing. And then we had, I think, 4 sessions or so. Basically, then you traveled back to your own Earth because you have done the mission. But you actually
fought Batman.
But the thing was, yeah, you fought Batman, and Batman had really bad roles. And
not very good Batman.
That's the thing about role playing. Sometimes you can have a really, really powerful character, but if he has shitty roles, he has shitty roles, and he was failing them left and right. So eventually, he had to call the Justice League, and then the Justice League basically jailed them. And I made a big mistake, but in a way, it was kind of funny too. So I think it was kind of a happy accident. Because I never said that in their world that the fictional characters weren't real. Like, the fictional characters weren't fictional characters. Because that way, in their world, they were fictional characters, so they had all this knowledge, and they were just throwing it. Like, I remember you guys were really pissing me off that night and really giving me a hard
time. Yes. Came up with the ever so popular Superman has a tiny dong.
Yeah,
you were
saying, hey, Superman, you have a tiny dong. That was okay, but I think what pissed me off even more, because you were telling to Batman, CF was saying I raped your mother or something, just to piss him off, and everybody then was just like, you know, and eventually I wanted to have Lobo join you, but you guys basically I just ditched Lobo, which kind of made me sad, because I like Lobo.
I remember one thing that really annoyed you that day, Gaming Beast, Darabka, was when, during that, Superman's a Tiny Donkey, is like, how do you know that? And Jerry's character goes, because I was the Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that was pretty funny. I just, at the time, I was annoyed because I was planning something else. But with you guys, I've learned to just go with it. Yeah. And the problem was also...
Oh, do you remember that one of us threw our own feces at Superman?
I think that was you. I'm pretty sure it's character. Your characters do shit like that, so you always play some kind of insane perverted or.
And yes, that does sound like my character. And if that was, then If I remember, the only thing that probably would have inspired me to do that was on that scene from The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. When he, like, bites, yeah. I could see your...
when the dude throws these manly juice at the lady.
Oh God, this is horrible, but also funny. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking once I post those up, it's gonna be filled up pretty much. But I'm thinking
these were good sessions, man. Pity that they're not gonna be shown in their uncut form. Yes, I'm staring like Pokemon. That's all, folks. Just the idea. The first session.
We have recorded almost every session we did, but one of the few that didn't got recorded, two that I'm really sad didn't got to record, the first Super Dick session, which is we call now Episode Zero, which didn't get
Issue Zero, get it right.
Issue Zero, right. That's how I have to post it. The issue didn't get posted because it was so wrong that I'm pretty sure our recording software, it failed, but I always say it refused to record it. And the other session that failed to record that I'm really sad is the session where the Silver Alchemist got killed. And the insane battle with the Dire Badgers and the Cryohydra. Where the donkey has conspired against you, which is Brady's character.
That's coming back to me now. That was when I turned into like a Godzilla battle. I turned into a giant mongoose fighting the
big snake. That was your plan, but the Hydra decided differently and just killed.
That's the lore of the roles, yeah. I'm afraid to say.
The teammates were so sad that they actually said that they're going to try to resurrect you. And actually, through CF's campaign, he said that a necromancer resurrected you. But only half, so that's why you have the... Well, you used to have the fucked up face, but I think you got that fixed eventually with some kind of other...
Yeah.
I think when you were, like, a god, which that's a campaign that hasn't been released. That's the problem is I have to release those campaigns. Because I think the... But with Super Dicks, I was just hesitant because of... But I'm not sure if I really... You know, I'm not sure if I really need to edit it, but
I was listening to the episode about you talking about god characters. I don't think I would want to play a god personally, because I think it's more fun to play a mortal to see what shit you can get away with. And also, it's a lot less messy.
I enjoy playing powerful characters, but if you play a god, then you have to have a different campaign, and it just becomes like, you know. I mean, we had that in a little while when BT was DMing, but even he had limitations that we could create the world, but we had to do it in unison, you know. So that was more fun, and it's not as interesting because after a while it just gets boring. So rather be a mortal character and trying, as you say, trying to see with what you can get away. Because if you don't have any... If you don't have any consequences and any limits and any way that you can be punished, then it just gets boring, I think. That's why you have to be careful with a superhero setting to put kind of a power cap, or at least if you're going to make somebody really powerful, then they have to fight somebody even more powerful. Kind of like the Dragon Ball Z rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but I definitely have to post those. I'm going to start with Space Sticks and... But I'm like, I have this zombie game that I really want to run, and I haven't managed to run it. I had it all prepped and stuff. Zombie survival game. I think that's something we should do. What do you think?
Zombie survival?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I have
it
set up where it's quite interesting, but...
Well, we wouldn't really know unless we tried it now, exactly. Wouldn't we? Don't knock it. Don't knock it unless you tried it. And obviously, Green Lantern tried it with a black man, and...
Awkward.
No, here's the thing. He's gonna get ripped to shreds. Like, we're just doing some criticism just on the story itself, but there are some real homophobic dicks out there. And I'm guessing probably the thing they're going to call them is the Pink Lantern.
You know what the funny part is? That there's actually different colored spectrum rings. And there is a, I think, sapphire or like, not pink. There's no Pink Lanterns. But I think sapphire lanterns. Like, they are like kind of purple, you know? And they're like representing love. So I guess that could be done. It would be funny if they would change his ring now because of that. But I think it wouldn't be a good idea, though. I wouldn't, you know.
Wait, hasn't his ring already got a triangle on it?
I'm not sure. But anyway, so since we're talking about role-playing campaigns, what were you thinking about? What were you thinking about doing? What kind of? Because you want to try your hand on DMing too, right?
Eventually.
So.
It's like I want to do it, but I have like a bit of a confident problem about doing it. But you really don't know. As I said, you really don't know unless you get experience from doing it yourself. I've done like one test things, like try to do an extremely simple, system, like having his old like sort of more stronger than normal, sort of simplifying. Like I'm trying to start, but just go simple, and just do more advancing like it into like the proper thing. So I'm taking baby steps.
Definitely good idea. I agree. I would recommend you possibly 4.0 because that's a very user-friendly system. It's a very good system for noobs, people who haven't DM'd or even played. They explain their everything really well. There's a couple of other systems that I could recommend. Marvel Superheroes is very simple. It was made for young kids to play, you know. So it's exactly the age limit, the age range for us, you know, 12-year-olds, you know. Because that's kind of our mindset, I guess. What I was thinking, I'm thinking of possibly doing that zombie survival one. But I'm also thinking maybe to do a D20 modern one and basically make it like Man in Black, but also have like creatures of myths and legend, but in the modern world. But I don't know how well we would work as like a government group, you know what I mean? Because then you have like all these limitations and the red tape and shit. Like,
isn't another problem with these is you've got a lot of preparation to do?
If I can prep for Rifts, I can prep for any role-playing game. So we could just get.
Sorry, yeah. this does not work well on podcast form because you can't see what I'm on about, but. I just checked my Facebook because, yeah, that's rude of me checking stuff.
No, I do it all the time, so.
Yeah. I saw a funny picture. I don't know if you've seen this. It's Batman having a nightmare of Ozzy Osbourne biting his head off. I get the joke.
I'm going to put that in the notes. Oh, I get the joke, too. Because,
I never would have thought of that, honestly. Even though it's like right in your face, it's just
that's
funny.
That's a good one. Have you seen on my Facebook? I've shared this other Batman one where it's like he's asking for the Kung Pao chicken, and the Pao is like a big comic book P-O, like a Pao. You should check it. Wait, let me find it on my Facebook. I don't know. It's pretty popular.
You look sexy with short hair, Ron. that's
yeah,
some editing.
I've short hair in a while, but you know. I've actually now two
womanly.
Batman wall photos. Check this one out.
Oh, there we go. The location of the Batcave is meant to be secret. Stop checking in.
You think that's this one is funny? One. Scroll a little bit down, like right next to Doctor Who, it should be. Like,
I know this is sad. I'll have the Kung Pao chicken. Yeah, this is totally not making it into the podcast. What the hell with the Avengers thing?
Okay, I'm just gonna stop it here. This is the Retro Kaiser. We just says talk about Facebook crap because we're idiots like that. So that was the Gaming Beast and Retro Kaiser. Thanks for being
suck
here.
Suck my dick.
After the show. We'll be right back.